Hi, everybody. It's episode 350 of PodQuest.
Hey.
Hey.
It's Wednesday, May 5th, 2020. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm Chris. With me is Druten.
Hola.
Walnut.
Hello.
I got nothing else.
Yeah.
Anybody? It's that sort of day. It's been a long week.
It's been a week, and my week is just getting longer, and I have to clean the house and do this and do that, and I haven't really had time to myself in a while. Since I've gotten a fucking dog, so I'm just, yeah, that's how I've been.
Oh, so exactly you just, why I don't want a dog.
So you just have some pent-up frustration is what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I went and drove to the bakery today to get pretzel during lunch, and that was, like, some actual time to myself for the first time.
What bakery sells pretzels you can have?
It's in Haddonfield off of King's Highway. It's called Blue Bear.
Wow. Also, if it's in Haddonfield, everything's off of King's Highway.
Well, yeah, but...
Is that the whole... They're all gluten-free?
Everything's right? Gluten-free. They even have a truck, a barbecue truck that does nothing but gluten-free as well.
Nice.
So they'll go to, like, food truck things, and it's all gluten.
That's not right on Haddon Ave?
No, it's...
King's Highway, I mean?
No, there was one that was on King's Highway, and that was called Posh Pop, I believe. But they have since moved to New York because they're like, fuck this area again. Blue Bear, they had a market, quote, a market in Marlton, where it was, they did all the same stuff they do in Haddonfield, in Haddonfield. Plus, like, sell, like, pastas and things like that and pre-cooked meals and things like that. But they eventually, during the pandemic, they shut down at Haddonfield, and it was just in Marlton. And then recently, they shut down Marlton, and it's now just in
Haddonfield. Oh, okay. They were on Haddon, or King's Highway.
No.
At one point. Yes, they absolutely 1,000% were.
As long as I've known them, and I've known them for the past 2 years, they've only ever been just off of King's Highway.
I'm looking at a picture of a storefront from King's Highway. And I remember it because there was one day where I had a doctor's appointment at my ENT, and was walking back down towards the speed line station, and I remembered walking by it, because I think we had D&D that night, and I was like, if I didn't have to, like, go home and would potentially forget it, or maybe it wasn't that night that we had D&D coming up, and I was like, oh, look, a gluten-free place that I could get something to bring for Richie.
I mean, I'll have to take your word for it. But if you can send me this image of them being on King's Highway, I don't remember it. Or at least I've never known them to be on King's Highway. I've only ever known them to be off of King's Highway.
I just sent the picture.
It's definitely King's Highway. Unless it's that little alley. Unless it's... When you say off of King's Highway, is it on an actual street? Or is it in one of those little alleyways that are kind of like off of King's Highway in that shopping area?
So that used to be where Posh Pop was. And then I guess they bought a bigger lot just around the corner from, and it's now off of King's Highway. But it's not like that little outdoor shopping center, like strip, not even strip mall, but like I don't. It's not that little alley that has shops. It's next.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah. Where the dinosaur is.
Yeah, well, because there's one on either side. There's the one where the dinosaur is, and then there's the one where like Tunes or whatever that music store used to be.
No,
on like the other side of the street.
No, yeah, no, it's not there. It's like around. It's around the corner from the dinosaur. It's there's a Thai place, souk.
Oh yeah, no, I've never been there, but I know what Thai place you're talking about.
It's right next to there.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you guys hear Jeff Goldblum is going to be doing a D&D podcast?
Sure did.
Yeah, I mean he's not. He's going to be in a D&D podcast. He's not doing a D&D.
Well, all right, fair.
Look, like, I didn't actually read this article at all. Drew said something about it, so I just found it and put it on here.
I was reading through it because I wanted to verify it. And he's going to be in the next season of the Dark Dice podcast,
which I've never heard of before.
He will debut on the 12th, which is
next week.
Next Wednesday. Yeah, next Wednesday.
He's going to be an elven sorcerer named Balmer.
You know what? He's definitely an elven sorcerer.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. Jeff Goldblum is definitely an elven sorcerer.
All right, then. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, because it's Jeff Goldblum, so, like, why the fuck not, right?
Yeah.
On to, like, actual, like, real news stuff. Marvel released all of the release dates for their upcoming movies. just to confirm them. And then they also they confirmed what the title for Black Panther and Captain Marvel sequels will be.
Yeah.
So Black Panther is going to be Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
I think Wakanda Forever is a great name.
Yeah, no, that's a very fitting title for it. And then Captain Marvel sequel is going to be called The Marvels.
Which, that's interesting. Like, is it... I don't know anything about The Marvels. I know that that is, like, a team, right?
No, no, you're thinking of the DC Shazam characters?
No, I'm not. I don't know anything about DC Shazam, so...
Think that's the name you may have heard from, like... Because they were in, because you watched the Flashpoint animated movie at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, forever ago.
They're in that. And I believe at that point they may have still been called the Marvels.
I did not know that.
Shazam used to be Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
In like the 30s or 40s when he was invented, up until relatively recently. I think it was the New 52 in like 2011 when he became Shazam was his hero name.
Yeah.
But there was some sort of like... copyright infringement stuff between Marvel and DC, so DC just changed their name, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they technically had the name first, but I'm assuming Marvel trademarked it when DC hadn't, and Captain Marvel / Shazam just hadn't been used that much, so...
Yeah.
But what I believe this is hinting at is, obviously Captain Marvel will be in it, Carol Danvers... we can assume Monica Rambeau will be in it after they showed her get powers in WandaVision. And then there's a good chance that Kamala Khan will be in it, because I believe the Miss Marvel show is supposed to premiere before this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one isn't until late 2022.
Yeah.
If not 2023, I believe.
November 11th, 2022.
Yeah. So that wouldn't surprise me, because... Ms. Marvel is already filming, I believe.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was the one that had started filming already or not.
I she's cast and there are set photos of her. So I think...
Oh, that's right. They just had the set photo released of her in, like, the actual suit. And it looks like her suit from the comics.
Yeah.
I forgot that picture came out, like, last week or earlier this week or something.
Filming began early November 2020, actually, for Ms. Marvel.
Wow. Honestly, I didn't realize that she'd been cast that long ago.
And is apparently scheduled to premiere in late this year. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this will... The Marvels will definitely be post-Miss Marvel's show. So, yeah, I can assume... Because Monica Rambeau was also a Captain Marvel. Between Mar-Vell, the Kree warrior, and Carol, Monica was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So, like, it fits and works and all that fun stuff. Other than that, though, the movie release dates, as stated so far, Black Widow is July. We know that already, July 9th. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, September 3rd. Eternals, November 5th. Spider-Man No Way Home, December 17th. And then we go into 2022. We've got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is March 25th. Thor, Love and Thunder is May 6th. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is July 8th. The Marvels, as we just said, is November 11th. And then we go into 2023, where we have Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania on February 17th, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 on May 5th.
Yeah.
And then did either of you see the little, real thing that they had, a few days ago?
Yeah, it gave me chills. It really did.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And the fact that they used, like, that actual theater footage of the end of Endgame.
Yeah.
But at the end of that, they showed the Fantastic Four logo, indicating that Fantastic Four movie is going to be part of Phase 4.
Yeah, so I'm probably, everyone is saying this, Fantastic Four is going to be their, quote, team-up movie for Phase 4, and it's probably going to end Phase 4.
I could see it ending Phase 4. I feel like they're just not going to do, like, a real team-up, well, because, like, technically Guardians of the Galaxy is a bigger team than Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I say team up, it just means like it's like they're going to be their big film, their Avenger,
which is weird to think that like the Fantastic Four will be the big film, because like it's the fucking Fantastic Four.
I mean, people have been wanting a Marvel Fantastic Four for a long time, and with everything that they can do with all of the character, like everything available, like I'm hoping, I'm praying, and my fingers are crossed that this is going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Look,
I like Fantastic Four well enough. They're kind of a hard thing to write, though. It's like, honestly, it's it's hard to do them justice in a movie because while they're superheroes, like, their stories aren't necessarily supposed to be, like, them fighting.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's what the Thing is there for, and, like, Johnny to a lesser extent, but, like, a lot of their stories usually focus around, like, exploration and science and stuff like that, and it, like, culminates in violence. But, like...
It's if they stick with the, like, the Ant-Man formula for this, and kind of make them pseudo-heisty movies, I think they're gonna work well.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, Marvel can definitely do right by this, because they got Disney money, they got Disney name, so getting a director and a writer and all that stuff to, like, actually make the movie they want, like, not going to be that hard to do at this point. I mean, fuck, the director for The Eternals, I just realized the other day, is the director that she just won Best Director at the Oscars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, like, and I mean, even Ryan Coogler, who directed Black Panther and is directing and writing Black Panther Wakanda Forever, like, I'm pretty sure that motherfucker also has an Oscar.
Yeah.
I think he has it for, oh, fuck, what was that movie? It was another one with Michael B. Jordan, Fruitvale Station. If he didn't get it for that, he was definitely nominated. And I mean, yeah, like, I'm sure the Fantastic Four movie will be fine. I'm curious to see who they cast for it.
I've seen people, like, make, like suggestions for casting, and the one that I really like is John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, people for years have wanted him as Mr. Fantastic and his wife Emily Blunt as Sue.
Which, honestly, yeah, that would probably work well.
Yeah, I think they would actually be fine as, like, they're both actually good actors, and yeah. Emily was actually the original Black Widow. Like, she was originally cast to play Black Widow and had to back out because of, like, a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, I think it was, I can't remember what, there was another movie that came out right around when she'd be Black Widow.
I think it was that Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think you're right. You know who they should cast as Johnny Storm, though? Chris Evans.
I was going to say Chris Evans or Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Just bring that shit full circle.
But don't cast Chris Evans as Chris Evans. Cast him as Lucas, whatever his name is, from Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember that character's name. But yes.
Man, Chris Evans has been a lot of fucking comic book characters in these.
I believe 11 or 12 different comic book characters.
Damn, really?
I feel like that's a little high, but it's definitely more than you realize, because he was... It might be 11 movies, but less character, maybe? But you figure, like, he's Captain America, he's Johnny Storm, he's the guy from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. He was in that movie, No, it was like the A-Team, but they sucked. The Losers, maybe?
Yeah. So, I have the Screen Rant article from last year, and it says 8. Captain America, Human Torch, Jensen from The Losers.
Yeah, okay, so it was The Losers.
Lucas Lee from Scott Pilgrim. Curtis from Snowpiercer.
I didn't know that was a comic book.
This doesn't count. This is Loki from the MCU. That doesn't count.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Nick Grant from Push, which I don't...
Oh, right.
I don't 100% feel like that counts, because that movie came out before the comic, and the comic was, I think...
Did it? I remember that movie, like, that movie has a very comic book vibe.
Play forward. There was a prequel comic made for the movie.
Okay, yeah, then that doesn't count. That's...
And he voiced Casey Jones in 2007's TMNT.
Okay, that's...
So, seven or eight, nine. I think there are more. I think I saw that there's at least 9 now, but I don't count Loki, so...
I mean, Loki shouldn't count, Push shouldn't count, so there's at least two that don't count. But yeah, man... Yeah. That dude does a lot of comic book characters. But hey, only one of them is, like, looked upon, like, less than favorably. And honestly, like, it's just because those movies were bad. Like, he was actually very good as Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Like, those movies were just not good. But my favorite casting for the Fantastic Four movie, though, is the cast of Always Sunny.
Yeah.
So it's Mac is... And I don't know all of their real names, so I'm just using their character names. Mac is Reed Richards.
D is Sue.
Charlie is the Human Torch. Danny DeVito is the Thing. And
Rob McElhenney.
Well,
right?
Rob is Mac.
Okay.
Dennis is Dr.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah.
And, like, that's perfect casting right there.
It is. It is. It works. I would love to see Charlie as Johnny Storm.
I would love to, honestly, I honestly think that, like, the actor that plays Dennis could actually probably be, like, a Dr. Doom-like character. Like,
yeah.
He does a very good job playing just self-centered egomaniacs.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Dr. Doom is. So, but yeah, so like Marvel stuff is happening again. Like, honestly, because of last year and everything, there are so many movies coming out over the next 2.5 years.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. Last year was only supposed to be Black Widow and, I think last year was supposed to be Black Widow and, The Eternals.
That sounds right.
I don't think Shang-Chi was even on the radar last year.
It was on the radar, but I think it was due out this year still.
Yeah.
But I think it was due, like, I think it was supposed to be, like, an early this year movie.
Because they were also going to be using these series as, like, jumps, in, like, bridges in the gaps. So that they don't have to release 4 films a year or 3 films. Like, they could do 2 and just have some series in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, they couldn't finish filming some things and they couldn't release other things. So it just didn't work out that way. Hopefully by, like, let's say 2024, they're back to, like, a better schedule than bombarding the theaters with 4 films a year, but doubtful.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Because, I don't know, even with like, the 4 or 5 movies that they have kind of, like, scheduled at this point, like, that just seems like too many movies.
It's, mm-hmm. It's crazy because they are also introducing a bunch of new characters over the course of the next 2 years.
Yeah, because, I mean, other than, I mean, Black Widow, is introducing new characters.
They're introducing a new Black Widow, most likely.
Yeah.
With
Yelena.
Florence Pugh. Yeah. And then you'll have Shang-Chi and the Eternals, which are just all completely new characters.
Yep, and then I'm sure Guardians will introduce a couple new characters.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four is technically all new characters.
Yeah.
There are a lot of sequels in here, too, because, I mean, you have Spider-Man, you have Doctor Strange, you have Thor.
Yeah.
Ant-Man.
But like, you're also looking at, like, the series. You're going to have the Ms. Marvel series, a new character. Monica Rambeau, although isn't a new character because she was a child in Captain Marvel, you can kind of consider her a new character because she's now taking main focus and not just, like, a side character, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, and that is also an assumption. Like, we could be entirely wrong what that is.
It could just be a bunch of different people named Mar-Vell in the Marvels, and we're pronouncing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it would be stupid if it was something else, because then why set her up the way they did at the end of WandaVision?
Yeah.
But yeah, we gotta, I mean, at least there's gonna be new movies again. Even if you're not, like, super into the MCU stuff, like, them putting this out just means that there's gonna be more movies available again.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going to the theaters, like, you just wait for it to come out on on demand or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been saying that I might not feel that comfortable going to the movies until, like, next year, but with these releases, depending on how, like, if they release them on, like, home media, like Disney Plus, a day and date, then I'll just watch them there. But if they're in theaters, then I might try to go to a showing that doesn't have a lot of people.
Which is fair. I mean, and look, June, we got Fast 9.
I can wait for that. I've waited for all the rest of them. I can.
You just don't get it. Han's back, man. Han.
I know. It doesn't make sense. Because we watched him die like 4 fucking times.
But I'm just saying, he's back.
But, like, he's the main reason for so many different storylines. His death is the main reason for so many different storylines. He's just alive. He's somehow.
Yeah. It's no big deal. They also make a flying car in this one. Like, they have 100% jumped the shark at this point.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's 9 fucking movies. Of course they're going to jump the shark. Like,
but, you know, the funny thing, I don't think they have ever actually jumped a shark yet.
Oh, they've jumped sharks. There's no, you're not telling me they haven't jumped over something where sharks were.
Well, no.
So technically, they've never jumped any bodies of water, but they did drive over a frozen lake to kill a submarine. So, and I think somebody did jump at some point, but who knows if there were sharks in there. As of right now, there's no literal shark jumping. But, yeah, I'm sure they probably at some point did jump a shark inadvertently.
Like, it's gotta happen eventually. Like, honestly, the last movie that somebody has to jump a shark.
Yeah.
Kind of, and it has to be like at the beginning of Fast 8 when Vin Diesel drives like his cousin's like beat up piece of shit and they just like strip it down to like nothing but like four tires and an engine.
Yeah.
And like the thing just falls apart at the end. Like he has to jump it in something like that. Like it can't be like a cool ass car. It's got to be like a fucking go-kart with like NOS hooked up to it.
No, what they have to do is they have to be like chasing after someone and both cars get destroyed and it's a foot race and Vin Diesel literally jumps over a shark.
Well, I mean, they kind of did that in 7. Like, it wasn't a race, but, like, him and Shaw crashed their cars into each other, and then they got out, and they went at each other with fucking wrenches and pipes and shit.
But they didn't jump a shark.
That's true. They didn't.
That's what we need at the next one. Let's contact the writers. I'm going to start tweeting at Vin Diesel every day. In the next Fast movie, jump a shark.
Well, I think they're doing 3, including them. Like, there's 3 more, and they're going to wrap it up. So 11, I guess, would be the final movie.
So I'm going to start tweeting him. You have 3 in the next 3 movies. There should be a shark jump. And after Fast 9 comes out, if there's no shark jump because it's already filmed, I'll be like, you've got 2 more movies to jump a shark. I'm just going to tweet him every other day until he blocks me.
That'd be funny if he just blocked you on the first day.
You know, maybe. But you know what? If they do end up jumping the shark, like, I should get some money on that because I gave him the idea.
Oh, well, I just gave you the idea, though.
But that's, I mean, it is recorded. Shit. I'll give you some money.
You know, just like car racing sort of adjacent. In one of the episodes of Smallville, I think it was 3 that we're on, it would have been out right around like Fast 1, Fast 2.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode devoted to street racing where, instead of just having NOS to make your car go faster, it was kryptonite-laced NOS.
Okay.
And it was ridiculous.
So it was kryptonos.
Yeah, basically. And, like, Clark got too close to it and got sick, because that's basically the crux of every episode, is somebody gets some sort of power from kryptonite, and Clark can't just easily get near them because they're infested with kryptonite.
Because it's like, oh, I'm Superman. I get sick by a rock.
I mean, it's a radioactive rock.
Whatever. He still gets sick by a rock.
I mean, so would you, though.
But I'm not Superman. It's expected that I get
sick
by a rock.
You're damn right you're not Superman. Damn right. Also, he's not Superman either. They never call him Superman in this show.
He's Clark Kent. He's Superman.
He's still a child.
Doesn't matter.
He hasn't even gotten all his powers yet. He only just got the ability to super here.
That must be the worst.
I mean, yeah, and like they actually do a pretty good job in the show. Like, as like when it starts out, he has like his normal like super strength and speed and everything. But like every time he gets one of these like sense abilities, like he can't just do it. Like it causes him issues at first. Like heat vision, he was randomly setting shit on fire.
Okay.
X-ray vision, he couldn't turn it off. So something like it was causing him like discomfort because he'd suddenly be like seeing through things he didn't mean to.
And it was those weird, awkward early 2000s TV shows where like he's looking at Lana Lang and his X-ray vision starts and oh no, he has to look away, but he can see through his hands and he can almost see a lot, like stupid stuff like that.
Yeah, except because he didn't have like control over it, it wasn't just like seeing through clothes, it was seeing through like skin to bone also. And then, yeah, super hearing was the same thing. Like, he was actually blinded temporarily, and that's when his hearing kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the smallest sound was causing him, like, pain because it sounded like it was, like, crazy amplified to him.
Yeah.
So, like, they do a good job with that. I don't think they're going to add my favorite ability, though, which is super face muscles or super ventriloquism.
I'd heard the face muscles thing before, but ventriloquism?
Yeah, so in like the 50s or 60s, in some of the Superman comics, they would just give him like ridiculous like reasons for how people don't know that he's Superman. So one of them was he has super face muscles, so he can literally change the way he looks as Clark Kent and like give himself a different facial structure.
Right, I remember that.
And then there was another one where he had a Superman balloon float outside of Lois's window while he was inside her apartment as Clark Kent. and used his super ventriloquism to throw his voice outside to the balloon so that she wouldn't realize it was a balloon.
That's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like, the movies made it one even crazier. Like, I forget which one it is, but in the one movie, he tears the S off his chest and throws it like a fucking boomerang. He kisses Lois to make her forget that he's Superman.
Yeah.
And it's either Superman 1 or 2, he just flies around the Earth backwards to turn time back. Like, literally inverts the rotation of the Earth to make it go backwards in time.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've all seen.
Yeah. Rather than, you know, destroying the planet like that would do.
Mm-hmm. Flinging every human being off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, comic books and comic book movies. Have either of you guys heard of this show Shadow and Bone? It's on Netflix.
Nope.
No, I have not.
It's weirdly interesting. It's based on books, like young adult, like fantasy books. And I'm just going to read the premise from like the Wikipedia page. Ravka, a fantasy kingdom based on the Tsarist Russian Empire, is set in a war-torn world plagued by the Shadow Fold, a swath of permanent darkness separating east from west, which is inhabited by carnivorous winged creatures known as Volkr, which just look like fucking, like, giant black dragon monsters.
Okay.
An orphan map maker, Alina Starkov, discovers that she is a Grisha, which is basically a magician, or a sorcerer, who possesses the power to create light, which could be the key to setting her country free from the Fold. Alina joins an elite army of Grisha serving under General Kurigan, the Shadow Summoner. Like, it sounds so generic when you kind of read it, but, like, the world that they set up in the show, and I guess in the books too, is super fucking interesting. Because you have, like, so, like, half the story is kind of focusing on this girl who, like I said, like, she was a map maker. Like, that's what she did. She basically joined the army to be around her best friend, who was a soldier. And it looks like they kind of have, like, a Jedi thing going on, where, like, children are tested at a young age to see if they are these Grisha things that have the ability to do magic powers.
Okay.
And they can't just create, like, they can't just do anything. Like, it seems like if you are one, you have a specific set of abilities that you can do. Like, some can make fire, some can, like, control wind and movement. Some have, sure, like a telekinesis sort of thing where, but like, they show them, like, crushing people, like, to death and stuff like that. Very, honestly, very dark side. Her and her friend managed to, like, avoid ever being tested every time the people came to their orphanage to test them. So she didn't know she had any sort of powers. She didn't want to find out she had these powers and then be taken away from her friend. Cause she is also, like, she's half whatever race in this world, is hated most by the country she's from. So, like, everyone kind of treats her like shit because she looks like a foreigner. That is also, like, it's like the enemy also, which makes it even worse. And, like, so she has one friend and she just wanted to stay with him. So she just avoided ever being tested. And then, like, accidentally, like, ends up having these powers and literally gets forced into, like, training and learning how to use them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it's just, it's an interesting world, and there's a bunch of different stories going on where, like, there's, like, this other group of, like, criminals who are trying to basically find and kidnap her because some, like, mob boss essentially wants the girl that can make light. But yeah, we're halfway through it. The first season's only 8 episodes, so it's not too long. We watched the first 4, and it's actually just super interesting. And if you like fantasy stuff, especially since there just aren't a lot of those shows running at the moment, like, it's worth checking out, especially if you have Netflix already.
Yeah, I lied when you started talking about this. I have heard about it because it is on my list on Netflix.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Like, Drew, you probably wouldn't like it because you just don't like things, but Sarah might like this.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I know, like, you could take or leave scripted television, like, basically forever.
Yeah, I mean, it has to hit right. Like, honestly, I've been watching Hannibal.
That was a really good show, at least the first, like, 2 seasons.
Yeah, I'm up to the 3rd. I'll probably talk about it next week. I'll come with it.
Was it 3 point. Or 4 seasons?
3. Or okay. At least there's only 3 on Netflix. So I think there were 3, and then there were, like, the two lead actors were like, we'll totally come back and do more. If they do a fourth season, we'll go to Netflix or whatever, but nothing came of it.
Yeah, I just double checked it. It was three. And I know, like, we definitely watched all of the first season, and I think we watched all of the second and fell off in the third.
The third season's a little different. Like I said, we'll talk about it next week, probably.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting show, though.
Yeah.
Oh, where's the outline? There's the outline. So, Rich, you and I talked about this very briefly the other day. They officially announced that Tom Cavanaugh and Carlos Valdez are leaving The Flash this season.
Yeah, you sent this to me, and another buddy sent it to me as well and asked me, like, is this true? Did they kill him off? And I'm like, well, Tom Cavanaugh has been dead since the second episode.
I was going to say, they've killed him off 7 times.
Yeah, but, like, the whole Council of Wells is now the energy for the Speed Force, like, or the Speed Force generator, or whatever it was. Like,
how much of The Flash have you seen?
Just the episode where Flash, just up to the episode where Flash got his powers back.
Oh, like where Wells sacrificed himself.
Yeah, yeah. So,
okay.
Like, I haven't caught up, but, like, Wells is dead. Flat out, he at the end of that episode, he was not dead, but his power energized the Speed Force. So,
did you not watch the after credits of that episode?
I might have. I don't remember.
There is another Wells.
Jesus Christ.
It's actually kind of interesting what they did with it. But also it made it very easy to basically like remove him from the beginning. Cause that was supposed to be the end of last season. So like this season, like that was supposed to literally be the last episode or second to last episode.
Yeah.
Cause I think the next one is where they get Iris and everybody out of the mirror world. And I think that is actually the last, like, the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right. And I always forgot that, or I forgot that at, like, the last 2 or 3 episodes of the season, they did have, like, credit scenes. But forgetting that that was actually the second to last episode of the last season, not the second episode of this season, I didn't stay watching the credits.
Yeah, so which happens, especially because you watch it, like, on the app. So it's not like, it's not like you just have it running after it airs, like.
Yeah.
It's basically like he was just supposed to be like absent from like the first like 6 episodes of this season. Mm-hmm. And then he's apparently going to be in the second half of the season, at least sporadically.
Yeah.
They haven't announced what his final episode period will be. Same thing with Carlos Valdez. Like he has also not been in every episode over the last like 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's randomly gone for a few episodes at a time. Like, and they write it off as like he went to Atlantis or he's like, investigating Speed Force stuff, or this season they're introducing the other forces.
So yeah, for last season he was so like he went around to see all the differences between the previous life and this life, like pre-52 or pre-crisis,
right?
And post-crisis.
Yes, that's what
and
it was.
Then and was back for 2 episodes. I think he was back for Jumper's or for his ex girlfriend's death. And then, like, 2 episodes later, went to Atlantis for 3 episodes. And then the season had to end abruptly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there have been rumors that he was leaving for, like, 2 or 3 years now. So, like, I feel like he has wanted to step away from it. But, like, they kept talking him into, like, sticking around and just, like, having, like, a lighter workload, basically.
Yeah, it's... He's, like, I don't know. It's to me, I can go... Without, like, I love Tom Cavanaugh, but I don't think you need a Tom Cavanaugh to have a Flash. But I don't think you could really wellly do a Flash without a Carlos, without a Cisco.
See, like, I almost look at it as, like, the other way around. Like, I feel like that show needs a Wells, because Wells has always been, like, an important figure, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that other guy, whose name I can't remember, the black dude, who's actually, like, not bad, but I'm just not all that interested in him.
Yeah.
I think his name's Charles.
I can't remember his name. I know he's, like, Black Hole or whatever his, like, power name.
But I don't think he has powers in post-crisis. He is, this whole season, he has not demonstrated any power.
He was unstable for all of pre-crisis.
I remember that. Like, he was in, like, the thing, and then they let him out to help, and... But not help, like, with powers, like, help them with, like, science and tech stuff.
So I think, like, he might have some sort of meta powers, but, like, his powers are too unstable to use.
Oh, he may have also gotten rid of them post-crisis, like that change, or may have taken the same thing that Cisco did to get rid of his powers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be a weird show without them. And I feel like, honestly, at 7 seasons, like, they're already renewed for an 8th season. Mm-hmm. I don't see, like, the show lasting too much longer, like, because Grant Gustin's going to want to go do something else soon, too. Like,
yeah.
Eight seasons of playing a superhero, like, you're going to get typecast at a certain point.
Yeah, and Arrow had, what, 9?
No, I think Arrow was 8 also, wasn't it?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, it would be 8, because the Flash started in Arrow's 3rd season.
Yeah, it was 8, and the last season was only 10 episodes. So, like, it's run its course. It's definitely been a good series that as much as I love The Flash, and The Flash is my jump into the DC comic universe, the DCW-verse, is what I'm calling it.
Arrowverse.
No, it's not even Arrow.
Call it the Arrowverse, that's what everybody else calls it.
Arrow's not even in it anymore, okay?
But Arrow was the Big Bang that created the universe.
And at one point, there was multiple universes going on in the shows, but they were all on CW. You didn't call it the Supergirl-verse for Supergirl. It's the DCW-verse.
It's always been called the Arrowverse.
They missed a perfect DCW tag. Like, it's the DCW-verse. Like, it just works. It works. You can't tell me it doesn't.
I don't think it does.
But, like, Flash was my jump into these shows that, for me, it'll be kind of emotional to watch it end, but at the same time, like, it is not... Like, I haven't watched this season.
You haven't watched anything this season, really.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't really watched any of Supergirl or Batgirl. Did Supergirl come back?
Yeah, it's like 5 episodes in.
Okay, I didn't watch that. I Superman and Lois, I only have a few episodes in. Like, I haven't watched any...
That hasn't been on... since I think the beginning of April.
Yeah.
That show went on hiatus because it got shut down for COVID stuff while it was filming. Mm-hmm. And then Supergirl started airing. And I believe Superman and Lois comes back this month and they'll end up just rearranging the schedule. Like, I know they just moved Charmed off of Sundays. So I'm assuming Supergirl will move back to Sunday. So it'll be Batwoman, Supergirl. And then Superman and Lois will go back to Tuesdays either before or after The Flash.
Yeah. So, like, it's just, I feel like, these shows, this combined universe, kind of run its course. And, like, if they were to do just one overall show of, like, a Justice League show or whatever, or a Super Friends show, just to just, like, jump around between each of the heroes, or an overall, like, Super Friends just, like, team up show for a full season, I'd be happy with that and not have to worry about the rest of them. But, yeah, it's 8 seasons for Flash. All these shows are getting up there that I'm not surprised that these main characters are leaving.
Yeah, and like with the way Legends runs, like I could see that one going on if like the ratings keep up because they can just cycle people in. Like as long as the last few like core people, Sarah and Steel don't leave like next season and like they give it another year to bring in a bunch of new faces to kind of like take over the lead. Like they could just keep that show going kind of as long as people watch it.
I agree but disagree only to the point that if Sarah leaves, I think the show should end because she is the last original character.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, like, it could keep going. Like
it could.
It's not as reliant on the title character because there is no title character. Yeah. Like if Grant Gustin leaves, they can't just recast the Flash. They have to just start over.
Yeah.
But you figure like Superman and Lois can keep going because that's only in its first season. Batwoman could actually keep going too. Like the second season's been better than the first season pretty dramatically. I feel like the character still hasn't quite found herself, but you know,
it doesn't matter because we're getting Kate Kane back next season anyway.
I doubt that because like the way they only showed her one time and they basically alluded to her being completely fucked, like physically and mentally.
We got a report that she's returning next season. Or not Ruby Rose, but there will be a Kate Kane next season. We talked about it.
No, that had nothing to do with next season. She is going to be in it this season. She was already in it this season.
Oh, I thought... Then I'm misremembering it or misread it or we misinterpreted it.
No, they did cast somebody to play Kate Kane, but they also said in that same release that they have no intention of sidelining the Ryan character. She will still be Batwoman. And, like... It seems like Kate actually like went down with a plane that crashed. Like she was covered in like bandages and stuff like that, and like looked like she was suffering. Like she basically looked like Darth Vader.
Okay.
And like had no memory of anything. Mm-hmm. Like so, like I don't think she can physically be Batwoman, even if they like fix her memory. Okay. So like maybe she becomes like the Bruce Wayne to the to Terry McGinnis sort of thing. That's for Batman Beyond, in case anyone wondered.
Or even though they already alluded that an Oracle existed, she could become Oracle.
Well, I mean, Luke is more Oracle than anybody else. Like, he's got the tech skills.
He's a fox, though. He's not an Oracle. He's a fox.
I'm just saying. But yeah, so those guys are leaving. We'll see what the Arrowverse looks like. I guess there's still Stargirl is technically... Well, no, because that's on a different Earth.
That's different a different Earth. Universe. Different Earth,
same network, different Earth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess...
It's not the Arrowverse. It's the DCW-verse.
No, it's the Arrowverse. If they take place... The Flash, Arrow when it existed, Legends. Honestly, we don't know if Superman and Lois is part of the Arrowverse.
So what are you going to call the universe?
Oh, it's just the multiverse.
But there's already a multiverse with the DC shows.
Yeah, but they also already showed that the movies are also part of it.
Yeah, they did.
As well as the shows that are on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So, you know. And also the old movies. Like, all the DC stuff was part of this at some point.
And then they destroyed them all.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Keeping along with DC-related stuff, they announced another FanDome for this year.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be in October. It's this, the streaming thing they did last year where they revealed the Arkham Knights and Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League games.
Yeah.
They didn't really announce anything they'd be showing, but being that's October and both those games were pushed back, likely we'll see more of those at that time. And the only DC movie that's out before then is The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance we will see stuff from all of the upcoming movies, like The Flash, Batman, Aquaman, Black Adam, etc. Plus the TV shows that are happening at HBO, Green Lantern, Peacemaker, and the Batman, like, Gotham PD show that they're working on. And they actually just apparently cast Green Lantern for the Green Lantern series. But they cast a Guy Gardner, which just seems like a weird fucking character to go with.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
He was the second Green Lantern on Earth, maybe? He's like the Green Lantern with an anger issue. But like, I get maybe not doing Hal Jordan, because like you had Hal Jordan in the movie. But or in the Green Lantern movie that nobody liked. But like, what about like John Stewart, which is probably the second most well-known Green Lantern?
Yeah.
And honestly, might actually be the most well-known because he was the Green Lantern in all of the cartoons in, like, the early 2000s. But yeah, doing Guy Gardner just seems fucking weird. Also, he was the third Green Lantern, not the second. John Stewart was the second. Fucking comic books. Yeah, I thought that FanDome thing was neat last year. Neither of you guys really watched anything from that, right?
I think there might have been, like, trailers or something. I don't remember.
Well, there were trailers, and then there were the game announcements for the two games.
Right, they had a game announcement. They announced the Suicide Squad game. Yeah, I didn't really watch too much about it. I really didn't care.
I mean, I think the Suicide Squad and Arkham Knights things were the only two that I, like, actually paid attention to. But I remember, what's-his-face? Will Arnett was there, and he was funny, because he's Will Arnett.
Yeah.
And that was probably the most entertaining bit of that whole thing.
Yeah, well, he's Batman, so he gets to be there.
He does, and they were doing, like, the whole, I believe they sent everybody green screens and, like, camera set up so that they could make it look like they were in this, like, dome thing instead of just, like, sitting in front of, like, a bookshelf or whatever, because that seems to be what everyone sits in front of when they do their Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
And, like, he was just going with it. He's like, wait, what do you mean you're just in front of a green screen? They trapped me in this fucking dome. I can't get out of here.
Yeah.
I just want to go home. I like Will Arnett. He's funny. Yeah. Last bit of entertainment stuff. Amazon renewed the Invincible series for two more seasons, like, as the first season ended.
They kind of do that a lot, though.
Does Amazon do that? Like, I know, like, Netflix and Hulu and stuff have. I didn't think Amazon did, though.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking, maybe they're taking cue from Netflix and, like, hey, we know this thing has done well. Why hesitate?
Isn't The Boys... like, signed up for, like, didn't they get picked up for two seasons after?
Maybe they did. I know they have another season in the works. I hadn't realized that they had gotten picked up, like, in advance like that, though.
I think they did. I haven't watched The Boys or Invincible, so I'm not really sure, but
Man, you're missing good shows.
I haven't been keeping track of their announcements stuff and whatnot. But like, yeah, it's I think for shows that actually get good press, they'll pick it up for a couple of seasons after the first.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Invincible has 144 comics to kind of run with.
Mm-hmm.
And the first season is, I don't know, like, maybe like the first dozen, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just started actually reading the comic now that the first season was done. I think I read the first 7 or 8 issues, and like, it's pretty close to like the arc of the first 8 episodes of the show. They just kind of rearrange a few things, and the show had some different characters in there and some changes to like existing characters. Like, the show added like a girlfriend for Mark that hasn't been in the comic at all, but like, it added a dynamic because like, it gave him something else that he was like not doing because he was off being a superhero.
Yeah.
And then it also made his best friend gay, which honestly just fits that character so much better than it kind of seemed to fit him in the comic. But the comic was also started in like 03, so they would have gotten all sorts of shit if they tried to do that at that point, because the early 2000s were a shitty place to be.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, it's been, there have been quite a few scenes in the comic that I'm like, oh, I just fucking saw that in a show. Like, they did that almost word for word. That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a good show, though. It's very fucking violent. And, like, I mean, it's been all over the internet, but every episode, the title card where it says Invincible, it always happens, like, as somebody is saying Invincible. So, like, their speech will be cut off at that word, and the title screen will flash up. But every episode, the word Invincible gets splattered with more blood.
Huh.
So, like, by the end of the season, it's basically just all red. Instead of, like, blue and yellow, I think, is, like, the colors of it. And that's a fun little thing to, like, watch as it's just slowly happens, because so many people get murdered in this show. Like, it just in the last episode alone, like, hundreds of people were murdered, and at least 10 of them were graphically fucking murdered. One man had his head just crushed in the palm of somebody's hand. Like, the whole thing just crushed and exploded. But it's a cartoon, so it's okay. No people were hurt in the making of that cartoon. Oh, so did you guys see that Sony trademarked Sunset Overdrive?
I had not.
Yeah, they registered a trademark for Sunset Overdrive, which is an Xbox exclusive from 2014, I think-ish. That was, like, close to a launch title, wasn't it?
Like,
launch year-ish?
It was launch year. I actually have it and never played it.
I have it, too. It's actually very good. I know you'll never play it because you'll never turn your Xbox on again, but...
It's disconnected right now. If I ever had a chance to connect it, I might play it. It's disconnected at the moment.
Yeah, you'll never play it. Your Xbox is never going to be turned on again.
Probably not. Probably.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if your Xbox wouldn't turn on.
Not after the last time I tried turning it on. And it took me 3 hours to fucking update the thing because I couldn't log in properly. It kept giving me the wrong emails. It was a mess. It was the worst. So, yeah.
Breaking news real quick, because I know, Rich, you'll care. SpaceX successfully landed a prototype of a spacecraft it hopes to one day send to the moon and Mars. It's the first time the vehicle didn't explode.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been watching. I knew it was happening at some point today, but I wasn't paying too much attention during this. And all the rest of them exploded. We actually recorded after one of them. This was SN15. I believe we recorded after SN11. And it did land, but there was too much catastrophic damage in the landing, and it was on fire that they ended up blowing it up themselves. Because
I vaguely remember that it was like a couple months ago. Because weren't you watching it before we recorded, and then you kind of like turned it off because like it wasn't going to be done by the time?
No, I was able to finish watching it before we started recording. But it was like the video ended with it having had landed, and then I read like 2 days later. That, like, they blew it up.
Okay, I remember that thing happening, so
yeah.
You must have told us, like, after the fact that they blew it up.
Yeah, and the last time they tried doing an SN, I think it was maybe SN, probably 14 or 13, I tried watching, but there was, it was too, like, foggy and cloudy out that they, like, the video wouldn't show anything, and it blew up, so... Yeah, that's pretty. It's cool that they actually landed it this time. I'll have to watch it once we're done here.
Yeah, and luckily they do stream all that stuff, so you can actually go watch it and see what it's all about. But yeah, anyway, so Sony trademarked Sunset Overdrive. The IP is still owned by Insomniac, so it makes sense for them to trademark something like that. I'm just kind of curious if they're going to do anything with it, because it was an interesting game, and I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a sequel to it.
It did have some neat, like, I played the demo a while back, like, for, I think I had it for there was a demo for it for 360 or something. Like, I did play the demo a bit, and it was good. It had some interesting concepts. I just never got around to playing it because I got it so late. I probably played the demo on the Xbox One. And yeah, it was good. It was a fun game. It'd be cool if they did do, like, a remastered or whatever version for the PlayStation. Doubtful, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, kind of like, Titanfall 1 still never came out on anything but Xbox, right?
I believe so. I mean, yeah. MVP, but...
But then Titanfall 2 came out multi-platform.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Mass Effect is a good example then. Like, the first Mass Effect was Xbox only, and then it was after the fact that it came out on PlayStation.
If the Xbox Series X can have a free PlayStation game, I feel like they can have Sunset Overdrive on the PlayStation.
I mean, they definitely, unless Xbox is like, has some sort of contractual like thing with it. But if that IP is still owned by Insomniac and it was just work for hire, they could probably port it if they really wanted to. It comes down to like whatever the contract says the work was and whether Sony wants to actually go through the effort of porting it.
Yeah.
Which at Sony, they love just re-releasing the same games over and over again. So, like, honestly, 50-50 chance there.
Yeah.
And I would also, honestly, doing, like, a Bayonetta thing, like Nintendo did, where, you know, make a new one and then just release the old one as part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the best call. I don't think the original one was going to have that much, like, power to it that they wouldn't be able to do that in, like, a single...
Yeah, and, like, I know the way that, the Bayonetta stuff works is, like, Bayonetta 1 is a separate, is, like, a downloadable content, basically. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Like, you can buy, like, I have it on the Switch, but, so Bayonetta 2 I have on the Switch, and it just comes with a download code for the first Bayonetta.
And I think they're doing that same thing for Bayonetta 3. Like, I think you can get all three of them on the Switch.
I don't think Bayonetta 3 is ever coming out.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I feel like Bayonetta 3 is slated to come out at some point, and... I feel like I've heard
in development for like 8 years.
We have a better chance of getting Mother 3 localized.
we have a better chance of getting Duke Nukem Forever. No, wait, no, we don't.
Yeah, we got that. It was spoiled by the time it finally came out, but we did get it.
Yeah.
It's Bayonetta 3 and Metroid Prime 4 are both just never happening.
Mm-hmm.
But in Sunset Overdrive 2 could happen. And really, like, it's a new enough game that I feel like if you did Sunset Overdrive 2, that was like a next-gen, like, PS5 exclusive, what have you. Fuck, let it release on Xbox 2. Why not? don't do, like, an HD remake or anything of the first one. Like, just bundle it as, like, a free thing if you buy the game, and just port it over to the hardware so that it'll run, and then just, here, you bought this game, here's a download code for the first game. It's going to look like a 2014 Xbox One game, so don't expect anything, like, crazy, but
yeah,
it'll work. And it had that, like, over-the-top art style, so it's not like it was Ghost of Tsushima, where everything was super realistic. Like, or it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Whether they would do that, though, unlikely. So the other Sony-related thing, they purchased, or they invested in Discord, and are going to bring that chat service to the PSN.
Yeah, and it was real weird because, like, the week before, there was rumors Microsoft buying Discord outright, and then that didn't...
Yeah, because Discord basically said that, like, they weren't interested in selling. Like, they want to stay independent, but they'll totally accept money from investment, like, invested money. Microsoft did work out a deal with Discord to integrate it into the PC version of Halo Infinite, though.
But why? That's so incredibly pointless.
It'll make it easier, or it could potentially make it easier for, like, matchmaking. Or not even matchmaking, but, like, for teaming up with friends, you might not have to invite them to two different parties. Like, you might not have to invite them to, like, your Windows game party and your Discord group. That's what I'm assuming, at least.
In-game party part.
To me, it's about time Discord starts getting on games. Like, with so many cross-playability games, it makes sense that, like, I should be able to be on Discord on my PlayStation 5 while playing, for instance, Outriders, while my friends are playing it on the PC.
Yeah. Only, I don't know if you guys saw this, is only sort of related. Sony charges companies for crossplay.
I did see that.
Yeah, like Epic said it, like, no other platform does. Like, but Sony, if you want to let a PlayStation game talk to Xbox, PC, or Switch, you have to pay them extra money.
Yeah, which, hopefully they change that, because otherwise this investment in Discord will be pointless. Like, we need more cross-play games available on the PlayStation in order to make this worthwhile. And so we need the developers to support the cross-playability, but if the developers aren't willing to spend that extra money to be able to have the game playable on the PlayStation and other consoles, then there's, like, Genshin Impact? Like, I could play it on my PlayStation, but it's not cross-playable with anything, is it? I don't think.
No, and PlayStation's the only one it's not, because PlayStation won't let you sign into their system.
Yeah.
So, like, PC, mobile, and if a Switch version ever comes out, maybe, crossplay.
I really want to play that game, but I don't want to play it multiple times, playing it on PlayStation, and then when it finally comes out on Switch, playing it on Switch. Like, I want to play it, and if they had the cross-playability from PlayStation to Switch, then I'd be all for it. Like, they need to remove that, like only us, so that I don't need to build a PC. And I could play all my games with my friends.
Yeah, because, like, even Monster Hunter, like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to play Monster Hunter World between PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, Capcom never put in crossplay for Monster Hunter World.
And that's across the board, right? Like, you can't, even Xbox and PC can't play together.
That's across the board. But I bet if it might have been because PlayStation or Sony, like, was like, well, you can pay us, and this is a really popular game, so you're going to have to pay us a lot of money. They were just like, well, we just won't incorporate. But also, when crossplay started to become big, like, the game, Monster Hunter World didn't release on PC for at least 8 months after the game came out, 8 months to a year after it came out on console. So, like, the thought of crossplay wasn't really that, like, wasn't necessary at that point. Like, there was a lot of content between the time that it was released on console and PC.
And frankly, like, Capcom probably knows that fan base is going to just buy the game twice. They're going to buy it when it comes out on one platform, and then they're going to buy it again when it comes out on the PC.
And it's also, the PC wasn't caught up with content until two patches before the last patch. So, like, there wouldn't have been a way to, like, cross-play effectively.
Shit, right? I didn't think about that.
Yeah, the patches weren't, like, they didn't have the most recent versions. They weren't up to date on, like, across the board. But there was a time where we were all, like, fingers crossed, with this, we can play crossplay, but they never announced it. Maybe that'd be nice if they do it for Rise when it releases on PC, which I believe it's supposed to release on PC in September. I'm not sure. Who knows?
Yeah, that's, like, crossplay is weird, and the fact that, like, a platform's going to charge you to do it is just kind of shitty.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Like, I paid you $700 for my console or whatever. Like, just let me play my games with my friends. Don't make me just have to play games with people I don't know because my friends have it for a different fucking console.
Yeah.
So, I just actually was looking at the Polygon article about it, and as shitty as it is, I kind of understand what Sony is going for in there with it. It's because this came out all because of the ongoing lawsuit between Epic and Apple. And basically, Sony, and sort of rightfully, doesn't want you to be able to go buy shit on the Apple store for a game and then use it on the PlayStation. Because then there's money that's going to Apple and not PlayStation.
Which is also the same thing that Apple, like, the whole reason there is a lawsuit between Epic and Apple is because that of that exact reason.
Yeah. And again, shitty, but, like, from a corporate standpoint, I understand where Sony's kind of coming from.
Yeah. And I guess, like, so, like, cross progression is one thing, but cross play, like, Rocket League gets it. Like, from the very beginning, like, I couldn't just go play Rocket League on my PC. I'd have to buy it. Well, before it was free to play. But, like, when I was playing Rocket League on my PlayStation, there were people with on PC also playing against. So, like, cross play and cross progression don't have to be mutually exclusive.
And cross play and cross saves don't have to be mutually exclusive. Like, if I have something on my PC and I want to play the game on my PS5 and I don't have the cosmetic item available on my PS5, I personally don't think it's a negative thing if they expect me to buy it again on my PS5. Like, that's just, yeah, like, knowing how the system works, and, like, I'm buying this through the Epic Games Store, or I'm buying this through the PlayStation Store, like, they are owed money to each one. Like, it's just, to me, the stopping of people using cosmetic items or whatever they purchased from one store to another shouldn't stop them from me being able to play my game on my PS5 while my friends are playing their game on their PC.
Yeah.
Together.
I do understand, like, so, it, like, for a game like Fortnite, because, like, that's the issue with the lawsuit anyway. Like, Fortnite was the problem. In order to play that game, you sign into your Epic account. Like, Fortnite's free to play. Like, you can download it on any platform you want whenever you want. But, like Drew was saying from the article he read, like, if I download it on my phone and sign into my Epic account and then buy a bunch of stuff in there, with, like, what V-Bucks, I think, is the currency for Fortnite.
I believe so.
So, like, I spend a bunch of real money on V-Bucks so I can buy shitty cosmetics or whatever. And then I just download it on my PlayStation and sign into my Epic account and have all of that stuff. Like, yeah, I get that. Like, the platform holder gets a little bit of a cut because the transaction is going through their platform. But, you know, like, that's not what to me, that's not what crossplay is. Like, crossplay is just being able to matchmake with people on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Sony's been against it from the very beginning. Like, the only reason it's even there is because Epic has the money to sort of force their hand.
If Nintendo is making it easier to do crossplay than your system is, you know you've done fucked up.
Yeah, it's, I mean, simple, you're not wrong.
You can crossplay Rocket League on the Switch across everything, but the PlayStation and Sony's making it harder to be able to do it on the PlayStation.
I mean, that's definitely a that's like a strategy from Sony, though. If you think about it, like, they want to force you to have to buy their platform and buy their games through them so that they make more money. And because their platform, like, won last generation, like, in quotes, they have the leverage to do that.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't at least, I don't know if they've changed it since, but for Rocket League on the PlayStation, you can cross play with the Switch and PCs. You just can't cross-play with the Xbox.
No, I think you can actually do Xbox now because Epic turned it on that one day, and then Sony had no other argument for why they couldn't do it.
Okay, so they have changed. Okay, but that was how it was at one point, though. There was at one point you could not play Rocket League with anybody from the Xbox if you had a PlayStation, or with anybody from PlayStation if you had an Xbox.
Yep,
but you could play it with everyone else.
Yep, PlayStation could play with PC, and Xbox could play with PC. But PlayStation couldn't play with Xbox and vice versa. And Sony kept saying that it was too much work and like it was like a coding issue. And then one day, like, a bunch of Xbox people were in PlayStation games and no one understood why. And turned out, like, Epic just clicked a fucking toggle on, like, their code and magically crossplay worked.
Yeah.
And it was still a while after that before, like, it was actually integrated. But, like I said, like, Epic has, like, Epic has their Fortnite dollars. Like, they can get away with pushing Sony's hand like that the way, like, most other platforms couldn't, or companies couldn't. But yeah, this Discord thing, Jim Ryan came out and said that, together our teams are already hard at work connecting Discord with your social and gaming experience on PlayStation Network. Our goal is to bring the Discord and PlayStation experiences closer together on console and mobile starting early next year, allowing friends, groups, and communities to hang out, have fun, and communicate more easily while playing together. So there's a chance that even if you can't do, like, cross-play per se, you'd probably be able to say, like, without having your PC turned on, be signed into Discord and in like a group chat with like your friends that play on PC. And you wouldn't be playing together, but you'd at least still be like, you'd have somebody to talk to while you were playing if that's a thing you like.
Which, you know what? I'm all for that. I am all for being in a party but playing your own games and just talking with your friends while you're playing.
Yeah, especially like Monster Hunter, where like you don't need the narrative, like you're just trying to kill a monster.
I mean, I'm even for it for like thing for high narrative games too. Like if I'm getting to a point where like there's a lot of talking and whatnot, I'll just mute everyone, pay attention to what's going on, and then unmute afterwards. Like I am down with partying with people just to play games and doing our own thing. I'm all for that.
Y'all are broken, but okay.
But I mean, I also play a lot. I also definitely do play a lot of like survival games and things like that, like The Forest and 7 Days to Die and Valheim and shit like that. That like, if I'm not talking to someone, I'm doing fuck all. And the games I enjoy playing them, but I would just enjoy having someone to talk to while I'm sitting there chopping down logs to build my house.
Yeah, even Outriders, like, yeah, is similar, like. If you're just playing that solo, or even if you are playing with other people, like, if you have three friends on PlayStation that you're playing, because it's a party of three, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're playing it with three friends on PlayStation, you're all on Discord through the PlayStation, and then, like, you have two other friends that aren't playing it, but, like, are on Discord on, like, their phones, like, you can all still, like you said, just be, like, talking while y'all are, like, running around, you know, shooting stuff and looking for gear.
Or if they ever get their shit together and have a safely working cross-playability in that fucking game, I can actually play that game with the two people that I know that play it.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
I haven't touched the game in about 2 weeks because the last time I played it, they did have cross-play working, but it was a risk, and somebody lost all their gear. So I stopped playing.
Yeah. Square Enix seems to not know how to make a live service game.
They don't understand servers. I've never played a Square Enix game that is server based that didn't have major hardcore issues at the beginning of it. Like
Final Fantasy, right?
Final Fantasy 14, Avengers, Outriders, like even like both. I don't know how the original release of Final Fantasy 14 was, but A Realm Reborn, like that was. I know original Final Fantasy 14 was just hot garbage altogether, but A Realm Reborn, they server stress tested the game for everyone who pre-ordered it for like a month, and then when the game actually launched, servers were down constantly, and like you were put in queue lines for how long you had to, like an X amount of people had to leave before you could get in.
Yeah, like we were just staying signed in all day. Like Eric and I were both at WebMax at the time, and we were like using like remote desktop to like home computers.
Yeah.
And like logging into the game there and then just staying logged in all day while we worked so that when we got home, we could play.
I would get home from school or work or whatever, turn on my computer, and I had a program that would constantly press the zero in the keypad, and that would be the accept button. And I would have it constantly logging me in, trying to log me into a server until it would allow me to do it.
Yeah, actually, we were using those too for a while.
Yeah, it's just, I have never experienced a Square Enix game that is server-reliant start well. But this is the buggiest I've ever seen a Square Enix game start. And I played fucking Avengers. Like, it's insane how buggy still Outriders it.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by that. Like, if that game actually gets its shit worked out, it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah.
So this one is also fucking ridiculous. We were talking about it a little bit before we got started. CG Projekt Red, their co-CEOs, Marcin Iwiński and Adam Kaczynski, they're Polish names, so I'm probably mispronouncing them crazy bad. They are both going to get $6.3 million bonuses. Basically entirely based on the sales of Cyberpunk 2077 last year. And then their board members, including the game's director, Adam Badowski, is getting $4.2 million.
It's bonkers. Like, are they counting how much money they had to give back in refunds towards their sales numbers.
Yeah, because apparently they didn't actually refund as many as you'd think.
Well, it was next to, like, Kwame had was having issues refunding, getting, or returning his copy, because, like, he used all of his GameStop points to get it. And so he went back to try to refund it to get his money back, and he was going to take store credit, because that's essentially what he used. And, like, they were given, you don't have your receipt, you don't have the card, you don't have it, they just were making it next to impossible.
Well, I mean, actually, and, like, that is not completely unrealistic at that point, if he had no receipt or proof of purchase.
But if he had, like, he used his, like, power-up rewards points or whatever to buy it. Like, there was a proof of purchase on his power-up rewards.
But it showed that his rewards were used, but it doesn't show that, like, it was used for Cyberpunk?
But at the same time, this game, they're like, it's just, it's bonkers to me to think that, like, a game as broken as this was impossible to return. Like, being CD Projekt Red, I would have turned around and been like, any returns, no matter what, get their money back and we'll pay you back because we don't fuck this up that bad.
Yeah, but that's, like, I mean, unfortunately, that's not how businesses go. And
no, it's because it's a shitty business.
But yeah, like, for the people in charge of that company who mismanaged and mismarketed the development and release of this game, to be walking away with several million dollars a piece is absolutely outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, the employees also get bonus. The company does, like, a profit share where it's 20% of the profit gets split. 10% goes to the top people. 10% goes to their other 800 employees. So the top people get a portion of about $28 million, which you can look at, like, if you look at, like, what some of these people are making, like, there aren't that many people getting money at that rate. The other 800 or so have a pool of $29 million to work out. So, like, they literally have the same amount of money to work from, but it's getting divided by between 800 of them.
And look, don't get me wrong. $5,000 to $15,000 bonus is great, but how many extra hours do these people have to put in to try to fix this broken fucking game? And the CEOs who did fuck all get $6 million, and this guy had to put in all this overtime to work to make this game work. Only got an extra $5,000. Like, that's fucking messed up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think, like, I know there's a lot of kind of vitriol around, like, games development and crunch and all that. Like, I get that that is bad in general, like, when people are forced to, when it's mandatory overtime. But at least, like, it's mandatory overtime that they are getting paid for. But, like, for something like this, where, like, they were forced to crunch, the game was still fucking broken when it released.
I think it still is kind of broken.
No, it is. They've only released one major patch so far, and it's still not available for purchase on PlayStation.
Yeah, so, like, when did the game come out? November?
December.
So we are 5 months since its release, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
almost exactly 5 months, because it was, like, December 10th, I think, is when it released.
So, the game still doesn't work. You still can't buy it, if you wanted to, on PlayStation, at least. Like,
yeah, and to be fair, it is 100% playable on Xbox Series X and PC.
Mm-hmm.
It is not... from what I haven't really gone in and looked into it, but I haven't heard anything about it being playable on last gen hardware, which is what the major problem is there. They shouldn't have developed this game for last gen.
It's playable on Stadia. And it's probably playable on the PlayStation 5, but Sony's not going to have it on their store.
Well, because there is no PlayStation 5 version of it. That's the problem. There is no Xbox Series X version. There's no PlayStation 5 version. Because Xbox does the smart delivery. Oh no! I'm sorry. No, Cyberpunk is still listed as an Xbox One game. So yeah, I have it. Like, I have the physical game, and my box says Xbox One on it. Whereas, like, Yakuza that came out at the same time that the Series X launched just says Xbox at the top.
Yeah.
Which means if you put it into a Series X, it'll play for, like, a Series X. If you put it into an Xbox One, it'll play as an Xbox One game.
Yeah.
Which I realize, like, sounds super stupid the way I just said that, but if you have a Series X, you know that it actually sorts the games by the platform.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, sure, employees are going to get somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000 bonus, which that's an awesome amount of money. but they're still getting shit from people anytime they go onto the internet because the game's broken. Yeah. And they're still working probably nonstop trying to fix this broken game.
It's infuriating and makes me disgusted at CD Projekt Red even more. More excited that more happy that I didn't get into the hype of this game, and less interested to ever buy it when it actually is worth. But at the same time, I want to support these people who worked on this game to where I might be interested to buy it, just to be like, hey, thanks for fixing a game that was broken. I'll finally give it a shot.
Yeah, it sucks that it's like that. Like it's kind of like when something comes out about an actor or a director where like they turn out to be a shitty person. Like what's his face? Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Like it sucks that like you kind of feel bad to then go watch something Kevin Spacey's been in, but like he was like everything he did was in a one man show. Like there were still hundreds of other people involved in making that project happen.
Yeah.
And like all those people aren't necessarily shitty. I'm sure some of them are. Like you can't have that many people and not have a few bad eggs, but you know, every other person involved in like House of Cards wasn't a bad person because he was a bad person.
Yeah. Well, and it's like also like you guys probably don't know who Mr. Beast is.
It's like a YouTuber, right?
Yeah, he's a YouTuber. He's this kid who somehow has so much fucking money. He's constantly giving it away. He's done so many different charitable things, but he's currently now going through it in the media because reportedly he might have a sort of toxic work environment. And it's like, all right, well, look at everything he gives away. Like, I want to support him, but if his workplace and his studios are shit, I don't want to support him. But look at how great of a guy he seems to be on paper. Like,
and I mean, really, like, it's easy to give away money when you just have. Because honestly, he's probably not giving away his money. He's giving away money that comes into his company.
He's giving away investment money and stuff. Like, money that he's getting from investors to give away so that, like, they'll pay him and give him all this shit to just give away so that people have their. It's insane. But, like. He was one of the main people behind, Get PewDiePie to 1 million subscribers or whatever. And recently his big thing was like, he wanted to plant 1 billion trees. So he did this fundraiser to plant 1 billion trees. And for every like dollar donated, he would donate another dollar to get to, and each dollar donated a tree. So he did that. Like it seems like a great guy in a great company, but if he has a shitty workplace, I'm like, I don't really know if I want to actually support him. But it's like, it's a rock and a hard place, and that's what it is with CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, and I feel like when it comes to like content creators, for every like one super successful creator that's actually like a good person and means well, like maybe they fucked up here and there, but like it wasn't necessarily malicious. It was just like unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah.
There's like five that are just giant pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And like that's unfortunate because it's a lot of times where like they're young, they suddenly find themselves millionaires and they think that they can just do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Like look at the Paul brothers. Like they're both two pieces of shit from what I've seen.
They've been pieces of shit since they started.
Yeah, exactly. But they got super popular and rich off of being just scumbag douches.
Yeah.
And even like what's his name? Dr. Disrespect. Also apparently a giant piece of shit. Whereas like Ninja seems like he's actually like a well-intentioned person at the very least.
Yeah.
But like said some things that like just rubbed people the wrong way. And like he wasn't like being racist or anything. It was just like shit he said where people like took offense to it.
I don't remember Ninja being under fire.
He said something a couple years ago about not streaming with women, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
It was taken out of context of what he was trying to say, I think.
No, not really.
It wasn't, like, out of context. It was just, it was, like, him trying to not put himself into a situation where things would happen by just deciding that, like, he just wasn't going to do it instead. Like, because that was around the time where, like the Me Too movement and everything was happening and, like, a lot of people were coming out against, like, content creators for being just giant pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And, like, he's married and everything like that. So he's just like, yeah, no, I have a wife. Like, I just don't want to do that. Like, I'd rather not get help. I'd rather not help smaller content creators that are female because I don't want people to say mean things about me.
Yeah.
But, like, every other thing I've ever seen with him, like, I'm not interested in his content, but, like, He seems like he's genuinely like a well-meaning person.
Yeah, like I've recently gotten into watching this group. It's called Neebs Gaming, and I find their content hilarious. And they play a lot of like the survival games, but they make like they kind of like joke around and just like make episodes about it. And I it's hard to explain. You kind of have to watch it. Like the one I just watched was they played the original Subnautica. And it was the one guy playing, because it's a single-player game, with the rest of them calling from a an HQ, a stranded HQ, where they're trying to talk him through, and it's just, like, funny comedy that they're doing. And I'm like, if I ever find out these guys are shit, I'm gonna be so upset, because I love their content.
Yeah, and, like, that's unfortunately, like, one of those things you kind of, like, have to deal with. And, I mean, we kind of got, like, a little off topic here, because like obviously like these people, like the content creators and stuff like that just end up being just abusive, shitty people, like aren't necessarily the same as like the people running CD Projekt Red. Like I don't think that like those guys are necessarily like bad people per se, but like they also don't deserve this money that they're getting for a game mm-hmm. that shipped broken. Like
I don't think you should get money in a profit share if you did nothing to make the game.
Well,
welcome to capitalism.
Trust me, I know. But I fully believe if you did nothing to create that game, the profit share should be for everyone whose name is in the credits for actually contributing something and not just CEO of a company. Like,
I don't entirely disagree. But at the same point, it's not like we don't know that the CEOs literally did absolutely nothing. Like, they do things. Not necessarily, like, hand to keyboard thing for developing the game, but
they're involved in other ways.
Yeah, like they have an involvement. They don't do absolutely nothing.
But like I do, like in a case like this, like I think like I'm trying to think like what was like a recent, so like the Sony exclusive that were like The Last of Us Part II or Ghost of Tsushima this past year. Like sure. The people in charge of those studios. Which I know that's different because they're not independent studios, like, they're all just under Sony. Uh-huh. But, like, let's say Naughty Dog was still an independent studio. And whoever was at the top of the studio, like, the president of the studio, like, if they did a profit share, like, that guy was responsible for this game in some way, whether it was working with partnerships to get marketing for it, putting the people in charge of it that are in charge of it, stuff like that. Like, yeah, like, that was a super successful game, like, yes, mm-hmm. you get a bonus. It sucks that in the world we live in, the people at the top get outrageous bonuses, and the further you get on the thing is generally the people that worked harder and spent more time on it get less and less money.
Absolutely.
But like
but the thing is, like, that's just how the world works in general. And
exactly.
Sucks.
No, that's what I meant. But when it comes to like the CD Projekt thing for it, where like the game's broken, like mm-hmm. yes, like the people that spent all the time on it, like, did still make a broken game, but it was not their decision to release it when it was broken. Like,
mm-hmm.
the people that are making these several million dollar bonuses were the ones that are like, oh, we already delayed this game once, we can't delay it again. It's like, fuck all you can, it's broken, just fucking delay it. Like, what the fuck?
mm-hmm.
Delay it and just cancel last gen. Like, if you can't make it run on old hardware, just fucking stop.
Yeah.
Stop, bug fix it on the new hardware, and just let it be that. Like, I get that we're in this weird last gen, like PS3 to PS4, there were like cross-gen games, but not nearly as bad as there are right now.
No.
And like going back like a generation before that, like there were even less. Like PS2 was a little weird just because it lasted for 15 fucking years, but like it was basically sports games were what were coming out on the PS2 most of that time. I think yeah. Ghostbusters had a version, but Ghostbusters was a completely different game on PS2. It was the Wii version of the game. But like now it's like, oh yeah, no, we have these new consoles, but every game that comes out for the next 6 years has to be able to play on the last gen. It's like, why? Why are we 6 months in and we've had two exclusive games?
It's because we're 6 months in and only 5% of the people who wanted to get the consoles got the consoles.
So, but PlayStation has sold more PS5s in the same time frame as they did PS4s, or has sold more PS5s in the same time frame as PS4s. Like, they've sold several million units more than they did in, like, the six-month gap in 2014. So, like, yes, the demand's higher, but, like, they've sold more of them.
But, like, t- to Richie's point, how many of them went to scalpers and have not actually gotten into the hands of someone playing it?
I mean, that's fair. Like, I'm sure there are a lot of those, but still, like, the only two exclusive games that are like AAA level, let's say, because like Bugsnax isn't, Astrobot isn't, would be Demon's Souls Remake and Returnal. And Returnal is just a roguelike.
Also, Bugsnax came out on PS4.
It did.
Oh shit, that's right. I forgot about that. But yeah, like the only two games that are actually exclusive right now that like have big names to them are Demon's Souls and Returnal.
Yeah.
Xbox doesn't have anything.
Yeah, but I'm on Best Buy right now. Can't find a PS5. They're all sold out still.
Yeah, but so, them being sold out, if there's 80 million PS5s out there though, like it doesn't Sony doesn't care that maybe only 10 of them went to people and all the rest are sitting with scalpers. They sold 85 million units. Why aren't they releasing games that actually take advantage of those 85 million units?
Well, that's on the developer. They want to try to make more money by having it sold on both consoles. So that, like, they can have the upgraded version and the regular version. And, like, I don't blame a developer for creating a game, for wanting to create a game that can be played on both consoles during a transfer year. Like, during this kind of season.
And
like,
especially this time around.
Yeah.
Okay, this time is different because of the world, but this was the plan even if this didn't happen. Like, it's not like these games just got developed last year. Like, they've been in development for several years.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong about that.
So, like, it was planned that we were not going to have exclusives to these consoles 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
I mean, I'd imagine some of these games probably wound up getting a bit of a, can we make this run on a PS4 or an Xbox One? Yeah. All right. Let's like, backport it and sell it on there, too.
Which is entirely possible, but... You know.
And as far as I know, Cyberpunk 2077 is the only game that didn't have a working previous gen version.
Oh yeah, no, like Cyberpunk's. Like, I mean, Cyberpunk barely worked on the new gen. Like it was still buggy and broken as hell. It just was less buggy and broken.
And that's the thing. Every game that isn't exclusive for next gen right now was developed for the previous gen and being upgraded for them. So like you said, CD Projekt Red fucked it all up and developed a game for next gen and tried to downgrade it to previous gen.
Actually, do we know that's how they did it?
It seems like that's how they did it.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's how they did it. I just wasn't sure.
I mean, I have no idea. It's just based on how the fact that it will run on next gen but not on previous gen. It just seems that way to me.
Well, I mean, I really think the fact that it can run on the next gen consoles pure hardware power. Just making that thing not die.
Yeah, because that's true, because like, the game still has a bunch of bugs and glitches in it that they've had to patch out of them. But like, the new consoles are significantly more powerful between the solid state drives, the teraflops, all that stuff. That those consoles can just do more at a given time to keep a game from just grinding to a fucking halt.
All I know is in 6 months... Say we get the Cyberpunk updates in the next few months. 6 months after that, I don't want to hear CD Projekt Red laid off X amount of people due to lost profits from the Cyberpunk fiasco.
Well, they already announced like two new AAA games they're working. Like a Witcher game and another Cyberpunk game.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that. And they're going to probably come out just as broken as Cyberpunk.
I mean, look, The Witcher did not look like what it previewed as. But, like, it wasn't totally broken. Like, The Witcher's actually a very good game. Like, they definitely... CD Projekt seems to have a tendency of getting overzealous with promises. And then they reel themselves back. And they just didn't reel themselves back properly for Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to push it for the new gen. And it just... It was too broken for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I tried the new Pokemon Snap game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
It's fine. Like, it's fine. I actually really enjoy the actual gameplay, but there is way too much exposition between every map. Like, just, it's long and tedious, and I don't like any of it. And, like, all the characters kind of suck, because it's not, the original game was just your character and Professor Oak telling you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a professor, There's a fucking little girl who's his assistant. There's this another annoying little kid who is the protege of the character from the first game and the character from the first game. And, like, all of them have to fucking chime in every time you go back to the fucking base camp. Yeah, like, I also, the maps also feel, like, especially short and, like, you're moving very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I remember in the original, like, and it's probably been 7 or 8 years. Like, the last time I played Pokemon Snap was at Geek Fest when the first year, like, when we did our first, the second Geek Fest when we had the TV set up with, we had an N64 set up and a Super Nintendo.
Okay.
And Drew, that was where we tried GoldenEye
with the dual
controllers.
Yeah.
And, like, I had Pokemon Snap, too, and, like, it was on, and I played it for a few minutes, and, like, you moved a little slower. Like, you had time to throw the bait and lure a Pokemon over to something. This one, like, it just seems to move too fast to really, like, be able to, like, properly do that. Like, you can get them a couple times, but with how long it takes the Pokemon to even, like, acknowledge that you threw something. Like, by the time, like, you actually get them to where you want them to go, like, you're kind of too far away to get, like, a good picture of them.
And you can't, like, alter the speed and make it slower or anything?
No, it's on rails. Like, it just moves on its own. That, like, that's how the original one was, too. Like, the game just, you load into the area, and it just takes you from start to finish. There's, like, a level system in this one. So, every time you come back, you get the pictures that you take evaluated. And that, bless you. That earns you points, and your points will raise your level. Your level for each map. And it seems like each map has, like, multiple versions. So, the first one, I've only unlocked two so far. But the first one has a day, a night, and, like, a boss fight, basically. It's not a boss fight, it's a boss take pictures. And then the second one has a similar setup of day, night, and I'm assuming there'll be another boss one.
Yeah.
But every time you level up, like the day or the night, when you go back into it the next time, there are different Pokemon available in there. Or, like, the Pokemon are doing different things. Or, like, they're moved, they're, like, laid out a little differently or something. Like, in the very first level, at level one, everyone's just kind of, like, lounging around for the most part. But when you go back into it level two, when you first load into the level, there is a Grookey and a Pichu that are, like, running around playing, and also a, what's the fucking flame rabbit from Sword and Shield?
Scorbunny.
And there's a Scorbunny that's running around that, like, literally starts, like, running with fire coming out off of his feet, like, after a couple seconds, that, like, they weren't in the first level of that map.
Yeah.
Which, like, stuff like that's cool, because, like, you know, you go through it multiple times, you level it up, and then you'll get different behaviors out of people.
Mm-hmm.
But then having to, every time you do level up, having to deal with all the exposition of, like, oh, there's this thing and that thing and the other thing, and here's a new item you can use in the maps, and here's, why don't you go try it out real quick in our little yard and take a picture of this Pokemon, and here's how you move your mouse again, your lens again, don't forget. Like, that part of it is just too much and is completely uninteresting.
It seems like it's very hand-holdy.
Yeah, like, overly hand-holdy for a game where all you have to do is go take fucking pictures. Like, there's no real, like, it's not like just a battle strategy to it.
Yeah.
You aim a camera, you zoom in or you zoom out, and you hit the fucking button to take a picture.
Yep.
That's it. And it's not like there's, like, levels of zoom. It's literally, if you're holding the left trigger, it zooms in. If you let it go, it zooms back out. That's it. There's two settings to zoom. There's a scan feature that will, if you scan, it'll point you if there's anything interesting in the area. Which sometimes it's like, there's like charred fruit on the ground at one point,
mm-hmm.
and it points you at that. And if you actually throw fruit in that area, Emolga, the flying squirrel electric Pokemon,
yeah,
right,
actually flies out of a tree out, like, from nowhere and starts zapping the fruit and then eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like a hidden goal thing or a request, because, like, the characters will give you different requests of, like, hey, there's this thing that looks like it might be a thing. If you could find out what that thing is, like, cool, you'll get, like, a sticker. So you have the scan, you have, like, fruit that you can throw at them that you can, they'll eat the fruit, or you can actually throw it at them to, like, distract them or wake them up and stuff like that to get, like, different reactions out of different Pokemon. And then I just got these things called Illumia orbs that will make them glow.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's basically, like, Illumia is, like, what they're using in this game as like a replacement for like the Dynamax energy, it seems like. Like, okay. The Pokemon aren't bigger because they have this, but they literally glow and have like patterns on them.
Yeah.
Because like just the first one that you find is Magnium or the third evolution of Chikorita, Marginium. I forget what it's called, but like it's glowy and it has like these like stringy patterns of glowiness like running around like its body. And that's like the big deal because that's what you were actually there to look for. So you take a bunch of pictures of it. But it's a shame because like the actual gameplay part of it is fun if you have like any nostalgia for Pokemon Snap, or if you just like seeing these Pokemon do different things and like finding them like hidden in little things or like doing like neat little behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I forget what the Pokemon's called, but it's like this grass Pokemon that it's like floating in this one field, and if you can get its attention and throw a fruit to it, it sends out like vines, like Bulbasaur, and like picks up the fruit and then like waves hello to you before it starts eating it. And like it's like a cool little reaction from it that you know you have to like have it timed just right for it to happen. But then you go back to the fucking base camp and listen to a bunch of fucking assholes talk for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Though I will say this game has more voice acting than Sword and Shield because it actually has voice acting.
Nice.
Only a little bit. Like it's very much like a visual novel. Like it's the 3D character, but they're just standing there. Like they're not doing anything. Their lips aren't really moving towards anything. It's just kind of like mimicking that it would be talking as like the text boxes scroll. But every once in a while, like a word or two will actually be said. Like very visual novel. Like a Phoenix Wright game or something like that.
Yeah.
But okay. I would say like if you don't have nostalgia for this game, like it's 100% not worth $60. Like there's just it's too handholdy and there's too much of that for like a map takes maybe 2 minutes to go through. And then if you've leveled up and you've unlocked something in that map, it then takes you 5 more minutes to be able to go do another map. And, like, that's not fun. That's not fun at all.
Yeah.
But taking pictures, like, I feel bad, like being so down on it, because the picture taking, like you keep saying, is fun. Like, I like that part of it. I just don't like the stuff in between. Like, if I could just turn all of that off and just, like, go do, like, picture mode and just, like, keep going through, even if it's, like, the same map for a while. Like, I feel like I would just have more fun with that. Because that's all I want. I just want to take pictures of the Pokemon.
Yeah, it should just be like an endless run throughout the entire map or something. Just take cute pictures.
Yeah, and like I like that there's like the different, like the day-night cycle to it. Because like the first game didn't have that. Like, you went from like the beach to like a cave to something else. And eventually, somehow you ended up in the fucking clouds chasing Mew. This one, it seems like the first thing is just sort of like a nature trail almost. Like you pass by like a lake and a waterfall and some fields of grass and some trees and stuff like that. But then the second one is a jungle. So there's a whole lot of like different stuff to see in there. Mm-hmm. And it looks like at some point there's a third island that's like a volcano. So I'm assuming at some point, like I'll be seeing a ton of like fire Pokemon and like shit and rock Pokemon and shit like that.
Yeah.
But like I have to deal with all this exposition first and I just don't want to.
It to me, it's kind of a letdown that not all 800 Pokemon are in this game.
I mean, like, not all 151 were in the first one.
True, but like, I feel like they should have like tried to incorporate everyone. It would fit. Like in a game like Pokemon Sword and Shield, like is one thing, but like a game like this, I feel like I don't know how many different Pokemon are actually in it, but I feel like it's not as many as there should.
I mean, at least in the two levels, like, I've seen a lot of different Pokemon so far. And, like, ones that, like, I didn't even really expect to see. Like, I found a Slaking, like, hidden behind, like, a boulder that, like, I looked over and all of a sudden, like, he's facing the wrong fucking way, but he's just chilling there. And, like, there was an Arbok, like, behind a bush at one point. And then when I go through it at night again, he's, like, curled up on a tree branch sleeping. So, like there are some Pokemon that, like, you just don't expect to just pop up randomly. And then there's other ones that, like, just seem to always be there, whether it's day or night. But my biggest letdown is I can't go to Blockbuster and print out my Pokemon pictures.
Yeah. Right?
Though they are apparently working on something like a Game Boy printer sort of, like, deal, I've heard.
Wasn't there a way to print them at home as well, or was it just at Blockbuster?
If you got your hands on one of those Blockbuster kiosks.
Okay.
No, there was no thing with the Game Boy printer.
So the Game Boy print, like Pokemon Snap, didn't have any interaction with the Game Boy printer.
Yeah.
Like, you actually had to bring your fucking N64 cartridge to Blockbuster, plug it into the kiosk, and it would print out your Pokemon pictures.
Wait, it was the cartridge and not your save data?
Yeah, because nobody ever, like, fucking Nintendo 64 games actually needed the memory card.
Yeah, no one had a memory card on the 64.
Man, the fucking NFL Blitz arcade machine, you could take your fucking N64 memory card and transfer save data.
Sports games were some of the few games that actually used the memory cards. But, like, most other games didn't because they were cartridges. So, like, they were easy to write to. It's not like discs. And fucking PlayStation came out and they're like, hey, here's a CD. Fucking good luck. You better go buy this memory card.
Yeah.
Anyway, though. Rich, you watched Godzilla Attacks Tokyo and Mothra's Singing Girl things are in it.
Godzilla Tokyo SOS, okay?
There you go.
Right. This was actually the first Godzilla movie that included Mothra. Well, no. The first Godzilla movie that included the Cosmos, the two little girls, with Mothra, that I enjoyed greatly. They weren't too ridiculous and annoying, and their singing only happened like once, and it wasn't too obnoxious. Or at least when they did sing, it only happened once where they were the main focal of the screen. Like, in other Mothra films, like Godzilla Mothra films, if they were singing, it was like a 5-minute span of them singing, and it happened multiple times. And
that is kind of obnoxious.
That's all it would be them singing. In this one, there was only once where they were singing, and like there were other things going on between, like while they were singing, but like they were the main focal point. And it's just, this one was good. It was fun. Mothra played a good part. They left it open at the very end for a sequel that we'll never get. And it was interesting. The movie starts out with them, I can't remember fully what happens right at the beginning, but then you go to a house and there's a little kid and his uncle. They're like building, like models. And the kid's like, I finished my model, I'm gonna go show Grandpa. And he runs over to show Grandpa, and Grandpa was sitting there reading a book. And it's very 90s sitcom what they did. He's like, Grandpa, look, I finished it. And the Grandpa lowers the book and basically looks directly at camera for a second. And then looks over at the kid and acknowledges the kid. And I'm like, what's the significance of this character? Turns out, he was in the original... or not the original. He was in the 1955 Godzilla movie, Godzilla Raids Again. He was in 1961's Mothra movie.
Jesus.
He was in 1964's Godzilla vs. Mothra as a separate character than 61's Godzilla, or 61's Mothra. He was in 64's, Ghidorah as the same character as in 64's, Godzilla vs. Mothra. 74's Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. 84's Return of Godzilla, 85's Godzilla 1985 written? What was 1985? That would be
that was one of the remakes, right?
It was Biollante. Was 85, I believe. I have it. No, 80. There's no 80. So maybe it was just the American listing of the remake or something. I don't know why I have it listed twice. And then he was in Godzilla Tokyo SOS. Reprising his role from 1961's Mothra movie.
That's insane.
It is. And it is, it uses scenes from 61's Mothra movie, he flashes back and it shows image, like, camera, like, they took a picture of him from 1961, or, like, it was really cool that they did that. I was like, whoa, like, I was not expecting any callbacks. So far, everything in the Millennium Era has just, for the most part, been one-shots that maybe referenced 54 or something like that. This is the first one that keeps 1954 as the original, with its original story. This one and Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla, the one that I watched last week, it keeps 1954 set in stone how it was, and then includes other things, and it included 61's Mothra, which I was like, that's to me, kind of blew my mind. Because, like, they hadn't done it for the rest of this era at all. So, like, that was a really cool, like, callback and throwback to that. And it was just, in general, overall, a good movie, an interesting movie, and a fun movie. It ends with no clear winner between Godzilla and Mechagodzilla, where basically Mothra gets killed, but her two larvae had shown up, and they were able to silk Godzilla, and then Mechagodzilla was able to tie him up with cables and himself and fly out into the ocean and fall into the ocean, and now he's stuck there. And then there was a credit stinger where, like, they had Godzilla DNA or something like that. But, like, nothing's gonna come of it because, as far as I know, Godzilla Final Wars, it's completely one shot as well, and that's the next movie.
I was gonna say, because I was gonna ask you if that was the next one.
Yeah, it's the next one. It's its 50th anniversary, and it's just straight up Godzilla fights pretty much everything he's ever fought before. Ghidorah, 98 Zilla from the United States, Rodan, Mothra, Gigan, King Caesar, Anguirus, Manila, his kid, is back, Kumonga, Kakarot, Manda, Hedorah, and Ebera. Like, and a Monster X, which I don't know what Monster X is. He fights, it is their 50th anniversary, so.
So, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I read the synopsis of this, like, last week or the week before, because I was curious, because you had mentioned Zilla in it.
Yeah.
And I was just curious how they worked that in, and, like, the Wikipedia synopsis didn't really, like, go into any detail for it, but I did find out who Monster X is. Uh-huh. You're either going to think it's cool or be really fucking disappointed.
I plan on potentially being disappointed because I've been looking forward to this film for so long. Like, since I've started this, is like one of the main reasons I started watching these was for this movie. And there's been so many times that I wanted to just skip everything and just watch it. I was like, no, I'll get to it when I get to it. All I do know is that he fights Zilla and throws him into the Sydney Opera House while some 41s, I can't remember what song is playing in the background, but it's a Sum 41 song is playing, and he blows up Zilla on the Sydney Opera House. That's all I really know, and I'm so excited just to watch that. But yeah, like, Godzilla Tokyo SOS was a really good movie. Like, you kind of have to watch Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, not fully, but kind of, because you have to understand how Mechagodzilla comes into play and whatnot. But, like, these two were, like, kind of, like, the redeemers of this era. Otherwise, like, 2000 and Megaguirus were fine. And Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack was also, it was good. It was better than the first two, but it wasn't, like, great. But these two, like, kind of, like, were, like, really good and really entertaining.
Well, that's good.
But guess what? There's 3 to 5 weeks left of my Godzilla marathon. Depending on what I do with, the Netflix series. Because yeah, I've got Final Wars, which I've been looking forward to. Shin Godzilla, which I've also been looking for. And so it's like Final Wars this weekend, Shin Godzilla next weekend, and then the Netflix series, which I think is just like the Planet Destroyer series. It's Godzilla Planet Destroyer series. I watched the first one forever ago and fell asleep halfway through, so I don't really know what I'm going to think about them.
I remember you mentioning that before.
Yeah, it was 2-3 years ago, and it, like, halfway through the first, it's because it's CG and it's weird CG, and it, like, it takes place 10,000 years after humans have left Earth, and they're coming back to Earth, and Godzilla's ginormous and has a beard. Like, it is weird. I've been wanting to watch them even after watching the first one and falling asleep and not remembering any of it. I've been wanting to rewatch them, so I might put that all three of those just in the same weekend, just to get them done. But who knows? But I have 3 to 5 weeks of Godzilla. It's been a long 30-something week run.
And then you have to go find something else.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't figured that out, but these next two movies are two movies that I've been really looking forward to, so I hope they don't disappoint. I hear Shin Godzilla's bonkers, and Godzilla Final Wars is just going to be all the fanfare that I can think of. Like, they bring in fucking King Caesar, who was in one movie.
Aren't they bringing in that that pollution monster that you really hated too?
Hedorah's in it, yeah. But like, King Caesar was in so most of them were in the original era. There's none of them were in anything past the original era. With the exception of, like, Rodan, Ghidorah, and Mothra. Like, the rest of them are all 54 to 75 monsters. And, like, King Caesar was, like, fought with Godzilla to kill the Mechagodzilla in 74. And then didn't make a return in 75 for Terror of Mechagodzilla. Gigan was in a handful. Ghidorah was only in one. Like, there's no, like, Anguirus was in a bunch. I'm surprised they're not, like, calling back the Jet Jaguar or anything. But, like, yeah, they have friggin', Ebera, which was the stupid fucking lobster. Kamacurus, which was, the spider that they fought in Son of Godzilla. Kumonga was, Kumonga was, giant praying mantises. And they're, like, kind of one-offs as well. Like, it's just crazy, all of the old things that they're bringing back. Like, Manda, it's really only Manda? They don't have the rest of them? Wow. Because in, Destroy All Monsters in 68, they had, Manda, Gurusaurus, Barragan, and Varan, which all were good kaiju, along with, Manila and Mothra and Anguirus, and Rodan, to fight Ghidorah with Godzilla. I'm surprised they're bringing back Manda, but not Gurusaurus, Barragan, or Varan. That's weird. But
man, some of these names are just goofy as hell.
Yeah,
they sure are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I can't wait to watch this movie. This might be one that I wait till the nighttime to watch as like a not a waking up movie, but a like I'm ready to watch it movie type of thing. But at the same time, I don't because I don't want to fall asleep while watching it. Yeah, that's Godzilla Tokyo SOS. One of the better, probably the best movie in the Millennium Era. Seconded by Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla. Thirded by Giant Monsters All Out of 10.
Okay. And, like, where does, like, do you know, like, as far as, like, fan ranking, I guess you'd call it, where, like, Final Wars sits? Because, like, everything I've heard, it says that, like, Shin Godzilla is, like, one of the best.
So, I don't know where Final Wars rests, like, ratings-wise and fandom-wise. I'm just excited for it because it is all the monsters and everything.
Okay.
And it's a movie that I've known about for a long time, even before doing this, that I've always wanted to watch.
Yeah, like, it does sound like one of those ones where it could be really cool because it's everything, or it could just be, like, very, very bad.
As of right now, it might be a movie that you love because it's just giant monsters fighting. Like, with how many monsters they have to put in to have him fight and stuff, like, there's not gonna be a lot of time for, like, I don't know, it's 2 hours long, so.
I was gonna say, watch, it is an hour and 45 minutes of just fucking people talking, 15 minutes of Godzilla just teleporting around the planet fucking punching monsters.
It's an hour and 25 minutes.
I thought you just said it was 2 hours.
Well, yeah, an hour and 25 minutes.
That's an hour and a half. That's only 90 minutes.
An hour and 25 minutes.
Is not 2 hours.
6:12. 125 minutes. Not an hour and 25. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Okay.
we were both, I was, you were hearing me right and I was saying it wrong, but I, like, we were both right, but both wrong.
You were the wrong one.
You were wrong.
But I understand what you were. I understand what you were doing. Like,
yeah,
you meant to say how many minutes it was, but yeah. It was coming out as an hour with
25.
Yeah, it's 125 minutes. So like, there's a lot of time for them to fit a lot of stuff into this.
I still think it'd be funny if it's only like 15 minutes of actual monster fights.
And 2 hours of just real bad exposition.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even like real bad exposition. It's like three Japanese guys like in like a meeting room with like a PowerPoint from 2004. Like just explaining that like the world's going to shit because these monsters keep attacking.
So basically what they did for King Kong vs. Godzilla in the original 60s version.
Yeah.
Like in the Americanized version, instead of a lot of the exposition in the middle, they just had an American news reporter saying what happens.
Which is just so, so stupid. Like, there had to have been a better idea than that.
Yeah, so, oh man, why'd I look this up? Calculate Godzilla's screen time in all 31 films. For those interested, Godzilla Final Wars, for Godzilla screen time alone, where was it? is 13th, 14 minutes and 55 seconds.
Wait, say that again?
Godzilla Final Wars, Godzilla screen time. He's in 13th place in this two-hour movie. 14 minutes and 55 seconds of Godzilla.
Oh, man, who was right? It is a 15-minute monster fight.
But, look, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 monsters. This is just Godzilla screen time. It doesn't necessarily
But Godzilla
mean...
is fighting all 16 monsters. So he's literally fighting one monster a minute.
A minute.
Look, in the time that we have talked about this, you could have watched the Godzilla vs. Zilla fight like a thousand times. It's a 30-second fight, not even. It's literally Godzilla grabs him, throws him into the Sydney Opera House, and shoots his breath at him. And that's it. Atomic breath. That's the word I was looking
for. That's hilarious.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is not going to be a good movie.
I don't know. We'll see.
I just feel like you're going to be super let down because it's not actually going to be...
It's not... Like, I had a feeling it wasn't going to be just Godzilla versus monsters, but I've seen some of the fights, like scenes from some of the fights and stuff, and it seems like, really cool and interesting.
I've got bad news for you, dude. You didn't see, like, scenes from the fights. You sold the whole fight.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But we'll see. I will talk about it next week for sure. Look, Shin Godzilla was on that list. Let me go back to that. Shin Godzilla was on that list. I think it was on that list. It's the wrong term. There we go. Come on. Where's the Reddit link? Let's find Shin Godzilla, 17 minutes and 23 seconds.
And how long is that movie?
That movie is also 2 hours, but that is more expected because that is more of a disaster type movie than it would be like a actual,
okay,
like kaiju type movie.
Like disappointing, but expected.
That's expected because of the type of movie that I've seen it to be.
Okay.
But that's still longer than Final Wars. Like the longest Godzilla screen time in this list, which was made 3 years ago, is Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2, 26 minutes and 56 seconds.
Which is just fucking crazy.
Which, that was the 90s era Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla.
Oh, man. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is probably a show, unless either of you guys have anything else to talk about?
Nope.
I mean, I started watching that show Irregulars on Netflix, but I'm only 2 episodes in.
How is that? Because it sounded interesting.
It's interesting, but it's very teeny CW.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... Watch the first episode, you'll probably understand what I'm saying, but, like, I don't think you're going to really be into it that much.
From his reaction to you saying it's very teeny CW, no,
yeah,
it's not.
Like, I'm thinking of, like the side of CW that isn't DC shows. Like, they're, like, other shows.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And like none of those seem interesting at all.
It's like maybe I've never watched it, so I don't know how well this will work. But like kind of like a Riverdale-esque type thing. Like,
okay, so
to
be fair, like I actually like Riverdale. I forgot that was a CW show, but yeah. I only like the first like 2 seasons. I just keep watching it because it's such a fucking train wreck, and I can't look away. Mm-hmm. But like, talk about jumping the shark. Like going back to the Fast and Furious stuff. Like that show went from like, oh yeah, they're high school kids with like slightly unrealistic high school problems, to Archie escaped from prison and fought a fucking bear.
Yeah.
Like, fucking what? And also created a militia to go after serial killers, because their town is just plagued by fucking serial killers.
Yeah.
But cool. Alright, so that's a show. We'll be back next week with something else to talk about, I'm sure. In the meantime, though, you can... I'm just... all over the place today. Jesus. You can find more of our content at www.onequest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with dollars, you can go to your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music. Review us, rate us, subscribe to us. All those things help a whole bunch. You can find us on social media at facebook.com/onequestonline or at @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can send us an email to social@one-quest.com. Otherwise, like I said already, we'll be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Adios.
See yous.
Way to keep the Cinco de Mayo going with the goodbye.
Yeah.